time of the year when we celebrate. Let our hearts fill with hallelujah. Let's clap and rejoice, for the birth of the Lamb is why we dance. So with gladness we proclaim the child. They worship the baby. So let us do the same thing. Lift our hands and adore, for you know that is worthy. So let gladness rule our heart, for the victory is won. Salvation, glory. And his name is called Counselor.
Under the kingdom there is no end.
Mighty God,
mighty God,
everlasting Father, and he will rescue us from our sin. He will rescue us.
In the name of Jesus, wonderful
Counselor,
say,
hey,
under the kingdom there is.
For the victory is won, yeah, yeah. Salvation, glory, and honor, God has given us his son, and his name is called
Jesus.
Right again,
Jesus.
One more time,
Jesus.
Hey,
his name is called
born
Jesus
in Bethlehem.
Name is Jesus, the name that is above every name. Let us pray. Father, this morning we do thank you for Jesus. We thank you for his sacrifice. We thank you for his life. We thank you for his obedience. And we thank you that he is king and he is soon to come. But in the meantime, Lord, we want to do your will. We want to expand your kingdom the way you created us to. So right now we're here ready to eat, to feast at your table, not so that we can gain weight and get fat, but so that we can go forward and do your will, since we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. Good morning, Blog Talk and Runner for Christ family.
Amen.
Good morning.
Good Good morning.
Good morning.
Saturday. Let's go to school. All right. We are continuing in our teaching and in our learning of what it means to be an authentic Christian, a real one. You know, if you pay any attention to what's going on in the world around us, you know, here, especially in the United States, we have this thing where people are saying that this is a Christian nation and we should have Christians in charge and Christians' values and Christians. And they use the word Christian, but what I keep noticing is that they all keep leaving out the most important part that makes you a Christian, Jesus. So what we have is a religion that calls itself one thing, but really no authenticity. It's authentic, reproducing essential features of whoever you claim to be. So we are seeking to reproduce the essential features of Jesus, the perfect human, who is also the Son of God. Our lesson that we're in, as we're talking about authentic Christians tell the truth about Jesus and who he is. Authentic Christians love their neighbors. And finally, we're talking about authentic Christians participate with Jesus in what is the Hebrews called tikkun olam, or the Jews called tikkun olam, the repair of the world. And so we started out last week looking at the first people that Jesus picked, chose, in reverse of what was tradition, where in the rabbinic culture, students would choose their rabbis, Jesus chose his disciples. So it was opposite of what was done traditionally. And just to give you a little bit of history of the rabbinic tradition, it became more of a educational, knowledge-based, ritual-following system as opposed to actually repairing the world. So you would attach to a rabbi, and they would teach you the ways of their traditions. You would learn this. You would have to memorize the Torah, and they would do those things, but they were practicing rituals without actually living out in a practical way what God intended. So it became more or less a religion. And when Jesus comes, he didn't just talk about what God wanted. He lived what God wanted. And so he chose people. So we started out where we looked at who he chose. And we looked at some of the people he chose. First, we looked at this guy, Matthew. What was Matthew's profession?
Tax collector.
A tax collector. That means he worked for who?
He worked for the Romans.
He worked for the Romans. So what was he considered by his people?
Traitor.
Yep. Traitor. And then Jesus chooses this next guy, Simon the Zealot. What were zealots known for?
Warriors, being violent.
They wanted to overthrow the Roman government.
And they weren't just doing it they were religious zealots. So they combined their Jewish heritage with our modern day what we would call ISIS or Hamas, because that's what they are. That's what they were. They had a religious fervor, but they used violent means to execute it. And as I said, it was believed that Simon was a part of the Sicarii, the ones that walked around with hook knives that they would jab into people's abdomens and twist up to pierce their hearts. preferably Roman soldiers or Roman citizens who oppressed them. So you can just imagine how fun it was on the road with Jesus and Simon and Matthew in a group. Probably spent half his time trying to keep Simon from killing Matthew. Then he picked this other guy, Judas Iscariot. What do we know about Judas Iscariot? He's the one who would ultimately betray Jesus. But what else? There's something else about Judas. Anybody know what it is about Judas?
He was greedy.
So what does the Bible actually call him, or what?
A betrayer?
So he was a thief.
Oh, a thief.
Remember he got upset when the woman poured the oil, Mary poured the oil on Jesus, said, we could have sold that to the poor. And they said that he did. It wasn't because he was concerned about for the poor. He was a thief. So sounds like Judas came along, saw a great religious movement happening, and sidled mm-hmm. up with this opportunity to not only be with Jesus, got chosen by Jesus, knowing that he was a betrayer and he would ultimately betray him to his arrest, and a thief.
He
chose him.
He had a money bag.
Yeah. Yep. Jesus picked him. So it's not like some people nowadays, they join up with a big church or a big religious organization so they can ingratiate themselves with the money. Jesus picked him. Wow. All right. Then we know Simon Peter. What did Simon Peter call himself in Jesus' presence?
I don't know. I know he was a fisherman.
First letter.
He said about his condition after they caught the fish and he saw what Jesus did, he said that he knew that he was a what kind of man?
Oh, a sinful man.
A sinful man. He knew he was in the presence of somebody that was different. And so he realized in the presence of Jesus, he recognized his depravity. But what else about Simon that we didn't talk about last week? What did he ultimately do before he had his come to Jesus moments?
Oh.
He did something three times.
He denied
Christ.
He denied even knowing him. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. Okay. All right. I was trying to mute myself to catch that sneeze, but I missed it. Anyway, he denied knowing Jesus. And not only just denied it, literally within earshot of Jesus. Because he was in the area. So he would have heard him saying, cussing the little girl out, saying he didn't know Jesus. All right. Then we learned about some women. What was special about these women, some of these women?
They had been healed by Jesus. They had a lot of issues. They had demons, diseases.
Yes.
Yep. So let's see. Some of these women, he had healed them of evil spirits and diseases. And these, again, are women in their culture, in their day. First of all, women were not, rabbis did not take women, students. But Jesus chose women to follow him. And he chose, of course, the most highly educated and the most upright citizens with the most holy reputations in town, didn't he?
No.
Not at all.
What about Mary Magdalene, that the stories over the centuries have gotten messed up? What was significant about her?
She had seven spirits cast out her.
Seven meaning the number of completion, so that means she was totally, completely possessed.
Okay.
She was completely overrun with the evil spirit. They ran her life, so you can only imagine what things she probably got into. One day we'll get to ask her. All right. Then there was this other woman, Joanna. What was special about her?
Something about money from the Roman kingdom.
Her husband, he worked for the palace.
Whose palace?
It had to be Herod's.
Yes, her husband was Herod's house manager. In other words, he was the chief person that he ran his house. He was like his chief of staff. And so, and Herod was, who was Herod?
He was the king of Israel, but appointed by Rome.
All right. And anybody know what Herod, who was he a descendant of?
The one that killed him.
Moltes, this he is, yeah, okay, go ahead with that. I'll take that for now. His dad did what?
Killed the baby.
Killed the baby when Jesus was born.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But he's a descendant of somebody from the Old Testament. They opposed Israel, even in the womb.
Esau? Is he an Edomite?
He's an Edomite. He is a descendant of Esau. So he's not supposed to be the king of Israel, is he?
No way.
But isn't it something how Jesus chose a woman whose husband worked for him to follow him? And then, of course, the Boanerges, a.k.a. the Sons of Thunder, James and John, what did they want to do?
Call down fire from heaven and kill everybody.
And specifically, who did they want to kill? It was a group of people they were mad at. Let's go to Luke chapter 9 and verse 52. Luke 9:52.
Let's see. And that would say, one more page. 62. And he
sent
messages on it.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, you go.
He sent messages ahead of him. And on the way, they entered a village of the Samaritans to make preparations for him.
All right. So now, who did they want to specifically call down fire on?
The Samaritans.
The Samaritans, because they wouldn't give hospitality to them. But really, why did they want to call on fire on them?
Because the Jews and Samaritans had issues.
Yeah, they didn't get along at all. No respect.
Yeah,
they
were prejudiced.
Go out of their way to avoid. Yep, they were prejudiced towards them. So this was their enemy, and they wanted to call down fire. This is what they chose to do with the power that Jesus had given them, share it with them. Call down fire and destroy them as if nobody else deserved it. So James and John, it's amazing when you just start looking at all of these people. What do all these people have in common?
They're flawed. They're regular humans.
They're humans.
Yeah,
they're flawed.
They're sinful human beings. in a fallen state.
So they just like everybody else, huh? All right, let's go to our next scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and somebody read verses 26 through 30, and we'll keep moving through repairing, partnering with Jesus to repair the world. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 through 30.
Brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things in the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not, to nullify things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is, our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord.
All right. So why did Jesus choose these people?
So they wouldn't have anything to brag about?
Okay.
Shows the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not, to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him.
Right. And
lowly and despised.
Mm-hmm. He chose the lowly, the despised. You think lowly women. Despised, Matthew, weak women, people, and all of these people are under the oppression of the Roman government. He chose Joanna, the wife of the chief of staff of Herod's house, not the chief of staff of Herod's house. See, most people, when they want to build something, they go for the best and the brightest, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we were called to assemble a team to work together, we would choose the people who this person has a degree in this person has access to the governor and the president, this person has a big bank account, this person has, that's who most people choose when they set up organizations. And now we know why most organizations are flawed. America chose a president based on the fact that he was on a TV show that they watched. So only credit, only thing, didn't bring any political experience, wasn't a mayor or a governor or served on city council, none of that. He's rich and famous.
That's it.
Because that's what we do. When man chooses, you know, remember when Samuel was going out and he went to Jesse's house and he looked at all the brothers and he was looking and he's like, oh, yeah, that's the tall one right there, that muscular one right there. Yeah, this got to be the one. And what did God say to him?
He went to every one of them, told him no.
And God told him what? Man looks at...
Man looks at the outer appearance, but God looks at the heart.
God looks at the heart.
Amen.
God looks at the heart. Who better to come to than the brokenhearted? Who better to choose than the people who know they need God because they bring nothing to the table? That's what it really means when it says you can't boast. What are you bringing to God? What do you bring to the creator of the universe?
Nothing. There's nothing that I could bring.
Everything we got came from who?
Yeah.
It's already his.
It's already his. He doesn't need it.
Right.
So this is what Paul is saying. God chose the food. God does not choose the way man chooses. Jesus did not choose the best and the brightest. He did not go to Gamaliel, where Paul was trained, the best rap. He didn't go to his school and go, I want your best students. I want your most devout Jews. I want the people who keep the law, who tie to the smallest seed, mustard seed. He didn't go do that. He chose somebody he knew who was going to betray him, somebody who was going to deny him, women who had been possessed and diseased and unclean. He chose two dudes who were violent, three actually, who were violent in nature. He chose the foolish things. But the thing is, today, even now, we read the names of James, John, even Matthew, who was really out of pocket. We read their names. We know Mary and Magdalene. We know their names because of who?
Jesus.
So the question I asked at the end of question five was, so why did he choose us?
For the very same reason.
To show how well he can work with broken materials.
Mm.
Yep.
Yep. You hovering around some scripture. Well, one of the prophets talks about clay
mm-hmm.
in the hands of the potter.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right. And we know clay, when you look at it, I mean, they just did some work next door to my house, and they dug up a bunch of dirt, and in it, of course, is clay, and it's dirty, and it's slimy looking. And there's no way I could look at that and go, that's going to be something special one day. Somebody's going to be able to use that. But if you take that clay and you wash it, and then in the hands of a master crafter,
Amen.
That clay can
Amen.
Become something useful to other people. Not just a statue that people can look at, but a statue. Oh, maybe it is a statue that people can look at, because after all, that's what image bearers are, a statue of God. All right, let me not blow my own head off and keep going.
Amen.
So now, let's take a look at the early followers of Jesus in the church and how they partnered with him in repairing the world. We visited his story, but we're going to visit it again. Let's go to Acts
mm-hmm.
chapter 3. And somebody read verses 1 through 10.
Peter and John went to the temple one afternoon to take part in the 3 o'clock prayer service. As they approached the temple, a man lame from birth was being carried in. Each day he was put beside the temple gate, the one called the Beautiful Gate, so he could beg from the people going into the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for some money. Peter and John looked at him intently, and Peter said, "Look at us." The lame man looked at them eagerly, expecting some money. But Peter said, "I don't have any silver or gold for you, but I'll give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, get up and walk." Then Peter took the lame man by the right hand and helped him up, and as he did, the man's feet and ankles were instantly healed and strengthened. He jumped up, stood on his feet, and began to walk. Then walking, leaping, and praising God, he went into the temple with them. All the people saw him walking and heard him praising God. When they realized he was the lame beggar they had seen so often at the Beautiful Gate, they were absolutely astounded. Amen.
We lose again?
I'm glad you asked. Thought my phone had shut off.
Right. Okay. Well, how did they repair the world?
She had to go see about the dog.
Oh, okay. I had to be unmuted. All right. So I was saying to myself, obviously, I got kicked out and I had to come back in. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. So I had to come back in and I had to get unmuted. In our last lesson that we went over about loving your neighbor, remember mm-hmm. when we went through the verses in Leviticus and it talked about mistreating the disabled?
Mm-hmm.
About the don't put a stumbling thing in front of a blind person or don't mistreat the disabled. So that's loving your neighbor. So here we have another example of where in the repair of the world, how did they repair the world, Peter and John? How did they partner with Jesus in repairing the world?
They healed the lame man, which restored his ability to go, pray, and make a living.
All right.
And then flourish.
That's it, to flourish, yes. They restored him back. You see, so you see, they and then notice, they said, we don't have to give you. We don't have money. Because sometimes we don't have money to help anybody.
Mm-hmm.
But what we do have, we'll give you.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something we need to think about as followers of Jesus. We are still all partnering with him in repairing the world. And sometimes we don't have the resources that people actually think they need. Because, see, the man thought he just needed money. But really, what did he
mm-hmm.
need?
Restoration.
Restoration. He needed to be made whole so he could flourish. That's really what he needed. So sometimes there are things we can give to people that are the what they we really meet their need is what I'm trying to say, as opposed to maybe they're what they think they need. Because as we all know, you can have a whole bunch of money
mm-hmm.
and not have your needs met. I mean, the basics, yeah, you'll have food. Yeah, you'll have a place to stay. But
mm-hmm.
will you have love? Will you
mm-hmm.
have wholeness? Will you have a sound mind working on your behalf? All right. Let's look at another example. Acts chapter 19. Okay, I'm back again.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
Acts chapter 19. Verses 1 through 30. A little longer passage, but it's okay.
While Apollos was in Corinth, Paul traveled through the interior regions and came to Ephesus. He found some disciples and asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" "No," they told him. "We haven't even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." Uh-oh. "Into what then were you baptized?" he asked them. "Into John's baptism," they replied. Paul said, "John baptized with a baptism of repentance, telling the people that they should believe in the one who would come after him, that is, in Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began to speak in tongues and to prophesy. Now there were about 12 men in all. Paul entered the synagogue and spoke boldly over a period of 3 months, arguing and persuading them about the kingdom of God. But when some became hardened and would not believe, slandering the way in front of the crowd, he withdrew from them, taking the disciples. and conducted discussions every day in the lecture hall of Tyrannus. This went on for 2 years so that all the residents of Asia, both Jews and Greeks, heard the word of the Lord. God was performing extraordinary miracles by Paul's hands so that even face cloths or aprons that had touched his skin were brought to the sick and the disease left them and the evil spirits came out of them. Now, some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists also attempted to pronounce the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, "I command you by the Jesus that Paul preaches." Seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish high priest, were doing this. The evil spirit answered them, "I know Jesus, and I recognize Paul, but who are you?" Then the man who had the evil spirit jumped on them, overpowered them all, and prevailed against them so that they ran out of that house naked and wounded. When this became known to everyone who lived in Ephesus, both Jews and Greeks, they became afraid, and the name of the Lord Jesus was held in high esteem. And many who had become believers came confessing and disclosing their practices, while many of those who had practiced magic collected their books and burned them in front of everyone. So they calculated their value and found it to be 50,000 pieces of silver. In this way, the word of the Lord spread and prevailed. After these events, Paul resolved by the Spirit to pass through Macedonia and Achaia and go to Jerusalem. After I've been there, he said, it is necessary for me to see Rome as well. After sending to Macedonia, two of those who assisted him, Timothy and Erastus, he himself stayed in Asia for a while. After that time, there was a major disturbance about the way. For a person named Demetrius, a silversmith who made silver shrines of Artemis, provided a great deal of business for the craftsmen. When he had assembled them, as well as the workers engaged in this type of business, he said, "Men, you know that our prosperity is derived from this business. You see and hear that not only in Ephesus, but in almost all of Asia, this man Paul has persuaded and misled a considerable number of people by saying that gods made by hand are not gods. Not only do we run a risk that our business may be discredited, but also that the temple of the great goddess Artemis may be despised and her magnificence come to the verge of ruin, the very one all of Asia and the world worship." When they had heard this, they were filled with rage and began to cry out, "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians!" So the city was filled with confusion, and they rushed all together into the amphitheater, dragging along Gaius and Aristarchus and Macedonians who were Paul's traveling companions. Although Paul wanted to go in before the people, the disciples did not let him.
Okay. I know it's a long passage, but we haven't spent much time with Paul. What did Paul do in the beginning of this passage for the disciples at Ephesus? Because there were people there who had been baptized, but they didn't have what?
They didn't have the Holy Spirit.
They didn't have the Holy Spirit. Why didn't they have the Holy Spirit?
Because they wasn't baptizing in Jesus' name.
So that meant that they had not heard about who?
Oh, they hadn't heard about the Holy Spirit.
They hadn't heard about Jesus.
Oh.
Because that's how you get the Holy Spirit, is you got to know who.
Yeah.
Jesus. So they had a beginning. They were like, again, they were like the people that John the Baptist, as it was saying, was baptizing. They understood, get baptized for the repentance, saying you're turning from your sin. But turning from your sin to what? But now Paul gives them what we call the full gospel. He tells them about
Jesus Christ.
Jesus.
He tells them about you. And then he stays with them and he teaches them about Jesus. And they were wide open anyway. They were ready. Yes. Okay. And they received him. And then we get that famous story of the people who thought, who were playing around and wanted to play magic, and they found out, shall we just say. So, all right. So that's one of the ways he, in repairing the world and helping, is to tell people the truth about who?
Jesus.
All right. Question eight. So how did Paul participate overall? She read the story about Paul when he was at Ephesus and how there was an incident that happened. How did he help repair the world in Ephesus? Who were they worshiping?
They were worshiping Artemis.
Anybody know her other name?
Is that Diana?
That's Diana. Yeah. All right.
Okay.
So her counterpart, name was Diana. This is Artemis. This is the part of that we talked about, the temple worship and the idolatry and the sexual things that go around temple prostitution that flow with this. So this is Ephesus, big city, like Corinth.
Mm-hmm.
It's a major city. It's an important city. And here Paul is, and he's in this city where they're steeped in idolatry. Idolatry is what for them? Part of their what?
It's part of their daily life.
Part of daily life?
Part of his culture.
And included in that, it's a big part of their economy.
How they made their money.
Oh.
How they made their money. And so Paul didn't just mess with the cultural aspects of worshiping. We saw the verse.
About being prosperous.
Because they turned from, the people did what with the books and the magic spell books and all of the stuff related to, they burned
them. Yeah, they burned them up.
They burned them.
Yep.
They messed up their money.
No, big time. Because think about it. They said it totaled 50,000 drachmas. If you have a Bible, it tells you. A drachma was a silver coin. It was a day's wage.
Mm-hmm.
So this 50,000 days' wages. It's a lot of money. And the people are like, "We're done with that. We don't need to buy this stuff and burn these candles and have these books and these cards. We don't need to do any of that. Oh, we're good." Well, of course, the people that make and sell these things are not happy. Because again, you're messing with the money,
the business.
When you start messing with the business, you want to see people get mad. They might have an attitude about you coming at their God, but when you go at their real God,
don't mess with my money.
Don't mess with the real God. You can burn the stuff, but you better. Yep, but if you affecting my pocket. Unfortunately, I see too much of that nowadays. Anyway, so Paul, in repairing the world in Ephesus, what he did was first he sent them, he got them, he told them the truth about idolatry. So he's setting them free from that bondage. And in doing so, it doesn't just free them up. Now they've got money to do what?
To do good.
So if there's widows in the area, what do? They take care of the widows. If there are orphans running around, what can they do now? They can take care of the orphans. If there's just some strangers that are coming through, because this isn't a big city, and coming through and they need a place to stay. Oh man, mm-hmm. I got money now. I got a place for them to stay. They can help the community because they don't have to spend all that money worshiping some idol.
Wow.
Makes you stop and think, doesn't it? Just think of the ramifications. You know, because one of the things we're doing in this lesson is because as they were called to partner with Jesus in repairing the world, that's what we're called to do.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to look at, are we putting our money and our resources into repairing the world, or are we just putting our money and resources into the world?
Mm.
Into the broken system.
In trouble.
I'm already in trouble, so I'm not going to stay there. Yep. Where is it going? What are we investing in? Our time, our talent, our treasure? Is it repairing the world, or is it hurting the world? Or is it taking something away from the needs of those, our neighbor? We have to think about stuff like that. All right. Let's go look at this last passage, and then we'll get close to the finish. Acts chapter 20, from verses 7 through 12.
On the first day of the week, we came together to break bread. Paul spoke to the people, and because he intended to leave the next day, kept on talking until midnight. There were many lamps in the upstairs room where we were meeting. Seated in the window was a young man named Eucythus, who was sinking into a deep sleep as Paul talked on and on. When he was sound asleep, he fell to the ground from the third story and was picked up dead. Paul went down, threw himself on the young man, and put his arms around him. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "He's alive." Then he went upstairs again and broke bread and ate. After talking until daylight, he left. The people took the young man home alive and were greatly comforted.
All right. So what did Paul do that mirrored Jesus?
He raised the dead.
He raised the dead. What? Eutychus didn't fall asleep because Eutychus was lazy. Look at the text tells us that it was late. We know it was, Paul kept talking until midnight because he was like, "I'm leaving in the morning, so I'm going to say everything I got to say." But it said that the room that they were in was upstairs and there were many lamps, not like lamps like we plug into the wall. These would be torches. So it's like having a bunch of fire around you, lamps. And if you're up, everybody knows heat rises. So if you're in a room and there's a lot of lamps, it's hot in there on top of it. So you combine somebody talking too long with heat, what are you going to get?
Sleeping.
Somebody's going to do what?
You're going to sleep.
Somebody's going to pass out.
A bunch of people going to go fall asleep. And Eutychus, unfortunately, was sitting in the window when he fell asleep. And they say he went to a deep sleep, so he was probably snoring over there, and he was dreaming, and he fell out the window and died. But Paul did what Jesus did. He went and he raised him and restored him. It said that the people, they family, he took him home alive, and not just alive, you know, where he was like, he alive, but he's going to be convalescent for the next 16 weeks because he broke every bone in his body.
Yeah. I was just thinking about that. How you fall three stories and don't break everything?
Took him home alive. He took him restored, just like Jesus. Lazarus didn't get up and have to get over, keep enduring what killed him. the little girl didn't get up and still have a fever or whatever was raging in her. They got up and they were whole when they got up, just like Jesus. And so this was, as we talk about sign gifts, these were signs in the early church for people to know these people are related. They follow who?
Jesus.
Because the stuff they do looks like who?
Jesus.
Looks just like him.
Yeah. So let's go quickly to Matthew 6:10. And we'll finish up here. We know this, but we're going to read it. Matthew 6:10. So they read that verse for me. So read 9 and 10. Could you read 9:2, please?
Okay. Pray like this. Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.
All right. Thank you. So given what we've been learning so far about repairing the world, the repair of the world, tikkun olam, what does this verse mean for us?
For us to keep God's name holy and that his will be done on earth.
So our prayer should be every day, what?
Your kingdom come.
Your name be
your
kept
will
holy.
Be done on earth.
And your will be
done on
earth.
Yep. And who is he going to partner with to do that?
Earthlings? Us.
Believers?
Specifically, those, as my girl says, being a follower of Jesus, a disciple of Jesus. He's our rabbi. He says, remember we read that verse in I chose you. You didn't choose me. I chose you. And I chose you to follow me. So we're, as his followers, we're supposed to daily seek to do his will. And his will is to repair the world. Remember kingdom? The way God's reign and rule in the earth, the way he intended from the beginning. It was supposed to be a partnership between God and humanity.
Amen.
Between heaven and earth. And it was supposed to be about being fruitful, multiplying, dominion. It was supposed to be, and so now those of us who are in Christ have the not only calling to partner with him, but we have the power to partner with him in the repair of all that sin has broken in the world.
So the restoration is happening right now.
I'm sorry. Could you say that again, sister?
I said, so the restoration of the world is happening right now.
Yes, because when Jesus came, he said, the kingdom of heaven is what?
Is near.
Is here.
It's here.
And that's what it means, near, here. It's at hand.
Okay.
He brought the kingdom, so near is like it's close by. It's right here.
Mm-hmm.
And now that it's here, you can reach out. And you can grab with God, partner with God, and bring his kingdom into the world right now. Not in the future.
Amen.
Right now. Right now. So that's why it's important for us not to just know deep stuff about the Bible. We can call it a story. The Bible is a continuous story about how God created the world, the fall of the world, and how God has been repairing the world since its fall. And if you look at where the Bible ends in Revelation, it's repaired. The people, the animal, all of creation is restored and made old.
So this means that the world is not headed towards destruction. It's actually headed towards restoration right now?
What you said. That's a different theology, isn't it? That's a different thinking about God.
That's a different paradigm.
It's a paradigm shift, yes. Because, and as I'm saying, there are people that call themselves Christians, and they're just like, we're just going to let it burn because God's going to bring a new one. That is not what God is doing. We can just quickly go to this verse. John 3:17.
For God sent not his son into the world, but came to the world, but that the world through him might be saved.
Right. So let's read it. Because now it's going to make some more sense.
Let's see. Reads, I was about to say, reads as follows. John 3:17, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him.
The world. And the world means the cosmos, the created order, what God created. Not to condemn it and destroy it, but to save it, to repair it. And those who are in it.
Wow.
That's what he came to do. I know now this verse makes a lot more sense, doesn't it?
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. So we should be thinking differently about the world around us. Yes. We see a lot of darkness. We see a lot of brokenness. We see but our God saw it too. He knew it. He knew it in advance it was going to happen. But he sent his son into the world to stop it and to repair it. And that's the call that's been given to those who were in Christ. The crazy, weak people, non-influential, not rich, not powerful, to whomever believes in him, to them gave he the power to become the children of God.
Amen.
And to repair the world. All right. Mm-hmm. That's the last part of this lesson. Next week, we're going to talk. I'm debating. It's two things. We may talk a little bit about that baby that was born again, just to look at it from a different angle. Or we may talk about other believers who have actually done some things that have repaired the world and how we take them for granted nowadays, like education and hospitals and things like that, and ending slavery of all kinds. There's plenty to do. And the thing is, he didn't pick the grandest things and the grandest people to do it. He picked people just like us.
Amen.
Amen. That is so deep.
Let us pray.
Yeah.
Father, our prayer is simple this. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth, and we are presenting our bodies as living sacrifices, so you can do just that through us and with us. We thank you for Jesus. In his name, amen.
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 Hallelujah. Thank you, Sister, Teacher, Pastor Janet. We are so grateful to you for another new revelation of the word. That was another deep lesson about how Jesus chose 12 flawed human people to help the repair of the world. As we grow in the knowledge of our Lord, we get more powerful. If you want to get a new understanding of Jesus and the kingdom of heaven, browse our Runner for Christ archive of sermons and classes on our website at rfcm.org. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. He woke us up again. Join us for a spiritual breakfast.
all those who need nourishment for their inner man, you are in the right place. After this song selection, we will start our Saturday morning service.
Merry Christmas, bro.
Merry Christmas, Kurt.
It's time.
It's time again for the holidays. The pain and sorrow miles away. But in my spirit, I gotta say, there's no Christmas without you. With caroling and mistletoe, children playing in the snow. But in their hearts, the world is slow. There's no Christmas without you.
Your gift?
Your gift of love.
Yeah.
No Christmas time without Jesus. Good morning and praise the Lord. Welcome, Blog Talk Radio listeners all around the world. Welcome to Runner for Christ Ministry's Saturday morning worship experience, brought to you by Runner for Christ Ministries, a church of teaching, learning, and doing. We thank God for His Word, for His mighty power, for church services online, for praying grandmothers, problems that make us stronger, for eyes that see and ears that hear, and for each and every listener. We ask that you tell someone else that this Saturday worship service is happening. As always, we will start out with the proclamation, scripture, and prayer to add to our spiritual breakfast as we enjoy going to church without going to church. This morning, to help us do so, we have our very own sister teacher, Deaconess Loretta Welch. Thank you for being with us. The mic is all yours.
Okay, thank you. As she said, my name is Deaconess Loretta Welch, and I'm here to bring you the Why We Are Here proclamation. Why We Are Here proclamation is because we proclaim that Jesus the King pre-existed as God the Son and was sent by God the Father, took on human flesh in fulfillment of God's promises to David, died for our sins in accordance with the Scripture, was buried, was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scripture, appeared to many witnesses, has sent the Holy Spirit to his people to effect his rule, and will come again as final judge to rule. Our scripture today is coming from Luke 1, verses 1 through 12. And it reads, "In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that was a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Cornelius, the governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flock at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be the sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.'" Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we ask that you fill with your Holy Spirit everyone who will participate in this service now or later. Today, for this opportunity to offer you some much-deserved praise and thanksgiving, we pray that our songs, prayers, and preach word lift Jesus so that all who are lost today will be found. We ask that you heal the sick and comfort the many bereaved. We ask that you bless the preacher with the word from you for all of us to hear and obey. We thank you for life, for love, for family, and friendship and fellowship. Dear Father, we thank you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and it is in his mighty and wonderful name that we ask these blessings. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Deaconess Loretta, for your obedience and service to God. Have a wonderful rest of your day.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, I just want to mention that the scripture that she so kindly read for us is actually Luke 2, 1 through 12. Yeah, we have a typo in our...
Okay.
But that's... We won't mention any names as far as who's the reason why we have a typo in our communication. But now that we have acknowledged our ways unto the Lord, we will continue to be ministered with the song selections chosen by the Holy Ghost moving through our very own Pastor O. Take it away, Pastor O.
Amen. Thank you for that. Amen. Appreciate you and Loretta and Pastor Janice Tate already. The reason I'm jumping in right now is, yes, I was the one who made the typo, and we're going to have an abbreviated service today. Blog Talk Radio is experiencing some problems, and the engineers are fast at work. They've been working since last night trying to fix it, and what it does is you can be in, you can be out. Please mute your phone because I have no control over opening and closing mics. They're doing it on their own. It's a ghost in the switchboard. Amen. I'm trying to pray him up out of there. But anyway, amen. So we're going to go ahead and get started. We're going to listen to a couple of songs. We're going to do some altar calling. Then we're going to hit some preaching. God bless you. God keep you.
Couldn't get no rest and couldn't see no end in sight. I needed God to pull me through, someone to show me what to do. Tired of being blue, yeah, yeah. Circumstances filled my life with such regret. And every time I turned around, trying to get my feet back on the ground, many tears I had to cry. Sometimes it felt like I could die, yeah. Somebody tell me why, Lord, you gave me hope.
Thanking God for a brand new day. Amen. This is the day the Lord made. We're going to rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. A new day. New opportunities. New ways. New roads. Amen. Trying to find the next song. He's going to get me there in a minute. Amen. And we're there. God bless you. Wait.
I'm gonna wait on you, help me to wait on you, help me to wait on you. I'm gonna wait until I hear from you, I'll wait for you to see me through. know it's true. Stand still till you tell me to move. I'm gonna wait until I hear from you. Help me to wait for you to see me through. Abide in your word and know it's true. Stand still and wait until I hear from you. Lord, help me to wait on you patiently. And Lord, help me to seek your face while I'm waiting. Steady your word, be anxious for nothing. So I'll continue serving you. Yes, I'll continue praising you while help me to wait on. Help me to wait on you. I'm gonna wait until I hear from you. I'm waiting for you to see me through. Hide in your word, you know it's true. Stand still, do you tell me to move? I'm gonna wait until I hear from you. Help me, Jesus.
Pastor O, thank you for those song selections. They are blessings of faith and testimony, and our hearts have been uplifted and encouraged. This takes us to Time to Talk to God, the only one who can meet all our needs. Come to the altar with all your cares and concerns, because there is power in prayer. Following this music selection, the next voice you will hear is our very own brother and associate pastor, Terrence Tate. Meet us at the altar and prepare to receive Pastor Terrence Tate. Pray to the Lord.
It gets so hard just trying to figure it out, fighting doubt, trying to believe God, trying to watch the words of my mouth and stay on the ground. Trouble come and go, even on the mountain high or the valley low. Never let your faith go. Ooh!
Never let your faith go.
I've been there before, so confused, don't know which way to go. Stressed out, world so crazy, might as well stay in the house. Fear trying to rise up, got terrorists to sky.
They look like us, but we know who we trust. Trust when I say that we gon' be alright. We gon' be alright. We gon' be alright. Alright.
Say
we gon' be alright.
In these last days, evil times will come, and it's here today. Look at all the hate, senseless crime and murder.
Day, day.
Human trafficking, racism, police brutality, bullying, rape, trouble, and shame.
Shame, abuse, and people.
Let your kingdom come, let your will be done
in the earth.
Let your glory rise, let your sun shine.
Let it burn.
Our gracious God, our Heavenly Father, first of all, we exalt you. We lift you up. We praise you for bringing us from last Saturday to this Saturday. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be able to come to you as a collective body. Father, you said in your word in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, you said, if my people that are called by my name would then humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then I will turn, then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sins, and heal their land. Father, we're asking you to just heal our land, but the only way that you can have your way and heal this land is if we do the work that you've called us to do, Father. You've given us specific assignments in the way that you want us to repair the world for you. And Father, we did ask that you give us the desire to do those assignments that you want done in the way that you want them done. Father, some of your children that are listening to this broadcast, they need physical healing, Father. But we don't have to worry about that because you are Jehovah Jireh. You are Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals all sickness. Father, some of your children that are listening to this broadcast, they need financial provision, but we don't have to worry about that, Father, because you are Jehovah Jireh, the God of provision. You said in your word in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, that my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus our Lord. So there is no reason why we should be worried about what we were already given. Father, you said in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength, and they shall run like eagles and not faint. Father, you said in your word that we should cast our cares upon you because you care for us. Father, you care for us so much that we shouldn't even be worried about what we need, because you already know what we need even before we ask for what we need. Father, you didn't have to give us what you gave us. You gave us what you gave us because you loved us so much. And far be it, we not love you back for loving a sinner like us. Father, we pray for our leaders in this country. Give them the wisdom to do the work that you've called them to do in the way that you've called them to do the work that you want them to do. Fill them up with the knowledge of your word. Remove their desires and let them have the desires of your heart, because the Bible says in Psalm chapter 27, verse 4, that if we delight ourselves in the Lord, then you will give us the desires of our heart. Father, I just pray that you have your way in the preacher today. Use him and give him the words to say that only glorify you. Give him the words to feed us with what we need to be fed in this earth. Father, move him completely out of the way and have your way and move according to your way and your word, because your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. So, and Father, give us the direction that you want us to go through the words that you say through Reverend Elder Joseph Stevens. And Father, let your spirit reign and rule on this earth today, because you want to be glorified and you deserve to be glorified. And Father, it is in the precious name of Jesus that I pray this prayer. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Terrence Tay, for that powerful and inspiring prayer on our behalf. We appreciate you, and have a beautiful day.
I will. You too.
Thank you. So far, we are having a great time this morning, and there is more to come. I want to thank you for this opportunity to be in service as your presiding person, and to show Jesus how grateful I am that he chose to use me. As always, if you have been blessed by this Saturday worship experience, then earn yourself some heavenly treasure and let someone else know that this worship service is happening. We are all here to receive more and more of his patience and love. Let us all grow in the knowledge of him. Okay, time for the preached word, a message from God. The best part, hot crispy bacon for our inner man. Following the next music selection, the next voice you will hear is a man of God, Elder Joseph Stevens, bring us a message from the Most High God. Let's receive him with open and warm hearts. Take it away, Pastor O.
Okay, we need a preacher.
Oh, okay. Normally I would hear unmuted. I didn't hear that.
No, we having some difficulties today.
Oh, okay. Father God, we thank you this morning for another opportunity to preach your word. Father God, we thank you for the privilege of being online to hear your word. And then, Father God, we continue to pray your divine blessings over each other. Father God, we bless and praise your holy name. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Good morning, Pastor O, Sister Sheila, Running for Christ Ministries and Radio Blog Talk. We are in an important time of the Christian church. This is the time that we are celebrating Advent. And many of us have heard the word Advent, but I don't know if we ever took the time to find out what Advent meant. Coming Advent, the arrival of a notable person, thing, or event. The coming of the second coming of Christ, the period of preparation for the celebration of the birth of Jesus at Christmas. Most people in our Western culture are busy purchasing gifts, buying things, preparing food for the celebration of Christmas. How many even think of Jesus Christ during this time? Yes, we're busy doing the things that we do, but how many know there would be no Christmas without Christ? We bless and praise Jesus for what he's done for each one of us. We thank you that his coming to the earth to be born was a miracle in and of itself. And we know that the 25th of December isn't the actual day that Jesus may have been born, but it's the day we celebrate Jesus' birth. It's the day that the church officially celebrates the birth of Jesus Christ. And that's powerful in and of itself. I had read some information, but I went back and couldn't find it, where different scholars agreed on the 25th of December being the day most likely that Jesus was born. But we know that some talk about, well, we shouldn't be celebrating Christmas because it's a pagan thing. But we also know that when they stood up and said that the December 25th was the birth of Jesus Christ, that wasn't pagan. That was acknowledging God for sending Jesus to be our Lord and Savior. The four meanings of Advent, four candles, they symbolize the Christian concepts of hope, peace, joy, and love. Let me say that again. Hope, peace, joy, and love. Now, that's powerful in and of itself. Pastor Terrence was praying about having joy this morning. Do you have joy? I didn't ask you if you was happy. I asked you if you have joy. You have the joy of God in your life. Do you have the peace of God in your life? That's what it's really about. Not just the gifts we give, not just the gifts we receive, not just the things that we do celebrating Christmas, but do you have the joy and the peace of God? And more importantly, are you showing the love of God? Not just to your family, but to other people. Not just to other people, but the body of Christ. Not just the body of Christ, but people that are in need of love and prayer. What are you doing? we know we will celebrate Christmas in just 10 days. But if God had not said in Genesis 3:15, NIV, and I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers, he will crush your head and you will strike his heel. God's greatest gift to man, his son, Jesus, would not be known. So we are celebrating the gift of Jesus Christ. God predicted it way back in Genesis when Adam and Eve sinned. Isaiah 9:6-7 says, for a child is born to us. A son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity, not just some, not just for four years or 8 years, but he will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. The passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's armies will make this happen. And that's the New Living Translation. And Isaiah predicted that over 700 years before Jesus was born. So it gave the Jewish people at that time plenty of time to realize and recognize God's promise first and foremost. It should have given them they should have been in anticipation. They should have been in excitement waiting on the birth of Jesus Christ. And there was enough things done at his birth that signified that he was God's promise to this earth. Jesus' birth, life, ministry, miracles, sacrifice of death on the cross, and Jesus' resurrection was for all man's salvation. My subject, Jesus paid it all. Jesus was the ultimate sacrifice. Colossians 1:18-20, New Living Translation says, Christ is also the head of the church, which is his body. He is the beginning, supreme over all who rise from the dead. So he was first in everything. Jesus, the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. We know it says in Romans 19, for God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ. We know that it says elsewhere, God so loved the world that he gave his only son so that everyone, and King James said, whosoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. God sent his son into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. 20, and through him, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. And you know, Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God, making intercession, each one of us that have accepted him as Lord and Savior. Colossians 1:21-23 talks about the maturity of the believer. Are you a mature believer today? This includes you who were once far away from God. You were his enemy, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. 22. Yet now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. As a result, he has brought you into his own presence, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. Did I just read, and did you understand what this scripture just said? As a result, he has brought you, me, into his own presence. And you, me, we are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. Now, we know we have faults. We know we mess up. We know we don't just have faults, but we have wrong thoughts. But Jesus paid it all for us, and our confession and belief in him has God looking at us as if we don't have a single fault. 23, but you must continue to believe this truth and stand firmly in it. Don't drift away from the assurance you received when you heard the good news. The good news has been preached all over the world, and I, Paul, have been appointed as God's servant to proclaim it. Paul is writing and telling us, our job is not just to confess our faith, hope, and trust in Jesus as Lord and Savior, but we are to walk firmly in that hope as we continue to believe, as we stand firm in our belief, as we stand firm in our hope, as we stand firm in the work of Jesus' blood on the cross. Don't drift away from the assurance we have received, and we know it's not easy. But Paul knew that and said, we always pray for you, and we give thanks to God, the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. For we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus. And this is going back to the earlier verses in the chapter, verses 1 and on. Paul was in jail writing this letter to the Colossae, the church of Colossae, the Colossian church. Paul also wrote Ephesians, Philippians, and Philemon while he was in jail in Rome, A.D. 60 to 62. But he did not start the Colossian church. He said, you have learned about the good news from Epaphras. He has told us about the love for others that the Holy Spirit has given you. Your confident hope of what God has reserved for you in heaven. This same good news that came to you is going out all over the world. This is key for us today. No matter what challenges we face, no matter what we see going on in our world today, in our culture, in our society, in our cities and towns, in our countries, no matter what we see, Paul said he had prayed for them in the Colossian church and for us as we continue to stand firm in our faith. And he went on to continue to pray. Verses 9 to 14, so we have not stopped praying for you since we first heard about you. We ask God to give you complete knowledge of his will and to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding. Brothers and sisters, we need spiritual wisdom and understanding more than ever today because there's so much going on in our society. There's so much wrong going on, but even there's so much wrong teaching going on even in the body of Christ. Everybody's not teaching the true word of God. There's not many ways to God the Father. Jesus is the way. I'll get into that later. Verse 10. Then the way you live will always honor and please the Lord. We have to live holy. We have to be changed. And your lives will produce every kind of good fruit. All the while, you will grow as you learn to know God better and better. Do you know God better today than you did yesterday? Do you know God better today than you did last year? Do you know God better than you knew him 2, 5, 10, 15 years ago? Do you know God better? And to know him is to have an intimate personal relationship with him. 11, we also pray that you will be strengthened with all his glorious power, so you will have all the endurance and patience you need. May you be filled with joy. But he prayed for them and us to have all the endurance and patience we need. Endurance. We think about people running a race. You don't get out there. You can run 100-yard dash quickly or 40-yard dash. You run it and you train to go as fast as you can. But you don't run that same pace running when you run a mile, when you run cross country. You have to build up your endurance. You have to have patience and know when to give that kick to run hard. We have to endure and have patience. Ask our brothers and sisters in Christ as we deal with family, friends, and the world, wherever that may be. Always thanking the Father. He has established you to share in the inheritance that belongs to his people who live in the light. 13, for he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear son. 14, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. These verses should encourage us today and give us hope to continue to the end, in the middle, not get frustrated and upset when things don't go our way, when challenges come to our life. We are to continue to encourage each other, to love each other, to exhort each other, to stand and endure what ever we are facing, endure it with patience, knowing that God's going to bring us through it. Colossians verses, chapter 1, verses 15 to 17 deal with the Christ being supreme. 15, Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him, 16, God created everything in the heavenly realms on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. And if that scripture doesn't convince you that God is all-powerful, God is omnipresent, and God is omniscient and knows everything. John talked about in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And who was he talking about? That Word is Jesus, our Lord, the Savior. He existed before anything else, 17, and he holds all creation together. In the beginning was God, and God created the world. And we know, because we believe and have read, that God the Father, Jesus the Christ, and the Holy Spirit were all there back in Genesis. Verse 18, Christ is also the head of the church, which is his body. Let me say that again. Christ is the head of the church. Don't look to me. Don't look to any other preacher. Don't look to Pastor O. Don't look to any of the fivefold ministry as being the head. Yes, he puts us over certain things here on earth, but Christ is the head of the church. He is the beginning, supreme over all who rise from the dead. So he is first in everything. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do you believe that? Paul's testimony went on in verses 24 on to the third verse. Paul suffered in his body. He talked about it. His testimony, he suffered in his body, participating in Christ's suffering for the church. God had given him the responsibility of serving his church, proclaiming God's entire message. Jesus has given us that same responsibility. He did say, go into all the world and teach and make disciples. Yes, he did. That message was kept secret for centuries and past generations, but now has been revealed to God's people. The message of God's love, the message of Jesus Christ, was hidden and kept secret for years. But God revealed that in Jesus Christ. God wanted the Gentiles to know the riches and glory of Jesus living in them. Before, God had went specifically to the Jewish people, the Israelites, and they had rejected God time and time again. All throughout the Old Testament, God would redeem them, and then they would walk away from them, worship false idols, marrying foreign women that led them away from their belief in God. And we do some of the same things today. What are the things that lead and pull you away from your hope, your faith, your trust, and your belief in the Lord? So we tell others about Christ, warning and teaching all wisdom God has given us. Now, Paul did that dutifully. Have we done the same thing? Are we telling and warning others and teaching them about the wisdom that God has given us? Have we told them about God's perfect plan of salvation? Have we told them about God's mercy and his grace? Have we told them that they need Jesus Christ in their life? We want to present to them to God perfect in their relationship with Christ. That's why I work and struggle so hard, depending on Christ's mighty power that works within me. And we know Paul worked hard. Paul worked hard everywhere he went. And he always went to the Jews first and then the Gentiles. And everywhere he went, there were some Jews that always stirred up trouble for him as he preached Jesus Christ, because they had not accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. Colossians 2, verses 1 to 3 says, Paul said he had agonized for them and the church at Laodicea, I can't say that today, and many other believers who never met him. He had agonized, he had labored. In verse 2, I want them to be encouraged and knit together by strong ties of love. So again, we see that word love coming up. Love is important. I want them to have complete confidence that they understand God's mysterious plan, which is Christ himself. Verse 3, in him lie hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Brothers and sisters, we should have that same concern today, that we will want everyone to understand God's mysterious plan, which is Christ himself. And in Christ lies all the hidden treasures and wisdom and knowledge. Ephesians 2:8-10 says, God saved you by his grace when you believe. It is a gift from God. 9, salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. 10, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do good things, do the good things he planned for us long ago. We thank God for Jesus, the greatest gift known to man. Galatians 4:4-7 says, but when the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law. God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law so that he could adopt us as his very own children. And because we are his children, God has sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father. Now you are no longer a slave, but God's own child. And since you are his child, God has made you his heir. But you know, Jesus is coming back for his bride, the church. He's coming back to judge the world and the lost. Have you accepted the free gift of salvation, which is found in Jesus? Have you done that today? If you haven't, confess with your mouth, believe in your heart in Jesus' death, his burial, and his resurrection, and I shall be saved. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. Jesus, the greatest gift known to mankind. Jesus did it all for each one of us. We have to confess Jesus as Lord and Savior, follow his edicts, follow his word, and continue to carry his word forward to others that need to hear. And remember, not only was Jesus born, but Jesus paid it all for you and me and those he's waiting on us to go and witness to. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, because you paid it all. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for being born, leaving your glory in heaven and coming to this earth and being spit on, lied on, beaten, and bruised, and then hung on a cross that we might be called your children. We thank you, Lord, for being born. But we thank you, Lord, even more for dying on that cross for each one of us. Amen. Amen. Amen, Brother Gerald.
Unselfishly died on Calvary. Oh, how you gave your life for me. Bruised, scorned, crowned your head with thorns. No greater love performed for me. Nailed in your hands, nailed in your feet, pierced in your side. Could barely breathe, could have came down, yet you remain standing in awe of the price you pay. I never knew of a love so true.
You gave your life and still I heard you. Lost so many times to supply you again.
But I repent, forgive me for my sins.
through blood and time.
Amen. I heard the little unmuted, so I think it's safe to say that y'all can hear me. Amen. Amen. I love that. Good morning, everybody. I love that song so much. You know, I don't think we will ever fully understand on this side of life how amazing it is to belong to Christ. Like, I don't think we'll ever fully grasp what Jesus did on the cross for us. I don't think we'll ever fully grasp what he did. Maybe I'm just speaking for myself, but I don't think I'll ever fully understand how awesome God giving his life, or Jesus giving his life for us was, and everything that it opened up for us, but most importantly, eternal life, because we're only on this earth for a short amount of time. And eternal life is really what counts. And Pastor O reminds me all the time that everything that we go through in this life is preparation for eternity. And so the word that Elder Joseph Stevens brought today, you know, talking about Jesus being the greatest gift, I mean literally the greatest gift. We all get caught up in giving gifts, and we all appreciate receiving gifts. But the greatest gift that was ever given to us was Jesus. Because Jesus could have easily said, nah, I'm not going to be bothered with them. I'm good here. Let them figure it out. He didn't. That's not what he did. He gave his life for us. He left glory and everything because he's straight in heaven. Okay? He gave all that up for us. And not just for us today who are here listening, but for those who have not even been born yet. So we really need to take the time, and like Minister LaShelle Anderson preached a couple weeks ago, and have a just pause and have a praise break and just thank God for Jesus and thank Jesus for his Holy Spirit that each and every one of us receive when we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior. So, yes, Jesus is the reason for the season. And, yes, we are shopping and buying and giving and doing, but we have to take a break, take a step back and realize that Jesus is the greatest gift that you could ever receive, but he is also the greatest gift that you can give to someone else. Amen? So thank you, Elder Joseph Stevens, for the word that you brought to us today. It was so great to hear your voice. We appreciate it so much. So I know there's, like, technical issues going on. I've been kicked out of Blog Talk multiple times today, so y'all about to get these announcements, and they're going to come real quick, so I need everybody to listen up. Amen? So Sunday, December 17th, which is tomorrow, okay, we will be having our in-person worship service at our church building, 27085 West Outer Drive in Ecorse, Michigan. Sunday school begins at 9 a.m. with Pastor Janice Tate teaching, and our worship service begins at 10 a.m., and Pastor O will be bringing the word. Amen? Monday, December 18th, at 6 p.m., we will have our last biblical giving Bible class. Amen. The last class in 4 weeks went by real quick. Okay. That's how time goes by. I say time is going by like a fart in the wind. Okay. Like time is moving real fast and we're already about to be, you know, in the last chapter of this book. So it's going to be taught by Pastor O. It's Monday, again, December 18th at 6 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio. Even if you don't have a book yet, we're in the last chapter of the book, it's okay. You still need the book, because everything, obviously, that we do here on Blog Talk Radio is recorded, archived, and free. So if you're just getting in on the tail end, it's okay. Get a book. You can still order the book. You can go to our church website, rfcm.org, or go to Pastor O's website, pastorgmo.com. You can get the book. The questions for the entire series on biblical giving are on our church website. You can go through this with us as a class, and then you can also go back and take it again and share it with other people. Y'all know how we do on Blog Talk Radio. Everything is recorded, archived, and free. Okay, so Monday, December 18th at 6 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio, we're doing Chapter 4 of Biblical Giving. Pastor O is teaching. The questions have already been sent out. He sent out all the questions for the entire four chapters, the entire lesson a couple weeks ago, actually right before, 2 weeks or so before the class even started. And then if you're in church in person on Sunday, they're going to be on the back table. And again, we'll be finishing Biblical Giving this Monday, closing out with Chapter 4. Amen. Every Tuesday, 4 p.m., Minister Richard Overall is on Blog Talk Radio with Training Day. Wednesday at 6 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio, we have our Bible class. So you know that the questions are at the end of each chapter for discussion. So this week, Deaconess Rebecca Johnson will be teaching the class, so make sure to tune in. Every Friday at 7 p.m., Deaconess Kathy Clyburn is on Blog Talk Radio with Bring Back the Family, so make sure to tune in for that. Again, on Mondays at 6:30 p.m., Minister Lachelle Anderson has her Blog Talk Radio show entitled Street Love. I think there's a couple other words after that. She corrected me last Sunday, but I have a horrible memory. So it's Street Love, okay? And then there's some other things after that. But just go to our church website, rfcm.org, and then just go to Christian Resources, and you'll be able to see Minister Shelley's information about her Blog Talk Radio show, Street Love, on Mondays at 6:30. There's a call-in number if you want to tune in. Amen. Please, please, please don't forget this Thursday, December 21st at 12 noon on Blog Talk Radio, Pastor O will be presenting the annual storytelling of the history of Christmas, okay? You get some good old Christmas music. He'll tell us some stuff. Then we'll have a musical interlude, and then he'll come back and tell us some more stuff. Then we have some more music. So just make sure to tune in. Amen. It tells you, Pastor O is going to tell you why it's okay to have a tree, why it's okay to hang stockings and actually put things in them, why it's okay to buy and give gifts. And so no one needs to feel bad about giving during this holiday season. Amen. It is okay. It's totally fine. Whatever, however people feel, if you tune in, you'll know exactly why. So if somebody come at you with some mess, you can explain to them exactly why we celebrate Christmas. Amen. So again, on Thursday, December 21st at 12 noon here on Blog Talk Radio, Pastor O is going to be presenting us the story and the history of Christmas, so make sure to tune in. Amen? Again, all of our classes and our services here on Blog Talk Radio are recorded, archived, and free. We've got classes, services, jobs, books, resources, and more. Again, all available to you for free. Use it as you need it. Share it with others. I feel like I saw an email the other day where there's, like, jobs that have been updated. So just make sure to check that. A lot of people are looking for employment, like seriously looking for employment, not just saying they want to work and then just not doing nothing, but like seriously looking for employment. And there are some really, 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 really good jobs on our church website. So please make sure that you get that information, share our church website, and share the information with others. Amen. If you'd like to pay your tithes or give any offerings, please visit the church website. Again, rfcm.org. Click on tithes and offerings and you'll be able to do what you need to do. If you would like to give a love offering to Elder Joseph Stevens, who brought the word to us today, also go to our church website, again, rfcm.org, and just click on the tithes and offerings tab. And just remember to specify that your love offering is for Elder Joseph Stevens, and we will be sure that he gets it. Amen. So the Lord Jesus bless you in advance for your kindness and sharing with us and with him on today. Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 7, speaks of a new heaven and a new earth. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. We like new stuff, right? Okay. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. Those who are victorious will inherit all this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. Amen. So I'm telling you, this right there, telling you who you want to belong to. Amen. You want to belong to Jesus. Amen. So as far as prayers are concerned, we always ask that you continue to pray for everyone, everywhere, all of the time. Pray for Doris and Nakia Gaither, all of our mothers on the move at Runners for Christ Ministries, Mother Irma, Mother Marilyn, Mother Cheryl, and Mother Persia. Praise God. Mother Persia is home from the hospital. So, again, keep our mothers in prayer. Continue to pray for Deaconess Nicole Seabrook, Nico Gaston, Melanie and her father, Jedediah, Micah, Jedediah's dad, Anthony, Darius Freeman and Keela, Ed and Rebecca, Elder Joseph Stevens and his family, all of those who are caregivers, nurses, doctors in the medical field, nursing homes, long-term care facilities, hospice care, all teachers, students, and staff. I think it was one day last week I read an article where somebody went and was on the campus of, I think it's UNLV in Las Vegas, and was trying to do campus shooting or some school shooting. I know a couple people, they didn't make a really big deal out of it, but I feel like I did read it. Again, we need to pray for all of our kids, whether they're in daycare or whether they're on a university setting, okay? So just pray for all of our teachers, students, staff, administrators. Pray for all of our leaders from our local communities all the way to Washington, our president, our vice president. Make sure to pray for your pastors who shepherd you, and continue to pray that they are following the Lord as you're following them, as they're following the Lord, amen, not letting them lead you astray. Make sure you read your words so you know if they're going in the wrong direction, and then you know if you got to get off on the next stop, okay? Continue to pray for all those who are bereaved, mourning, and grieving. And, again, the biggest prayers that we need to lift up are prayers for those who are unsaved, okay? When all of this that we see is over, when this life here is over, eternity is what matters. And you get to determine whether you spend eternity in heaven or in hell, amen? So make the right choice, amen? Again, the holidays are here. Christmas is literally in like 10 days. I don't know what happened. We need to, again, take time to stop and think about others and what they might be going through this time of year. Some are missing friends and loved ones. Some are lonely and alone. Some have no hope and are suffering from depression. We need to be kind, caring, and courteous to everyone. But most of all, we need to treat everyone with grace, love, mercy, and forgiveness, which is the same way our Lord Jesus Christ deals with us. John chapter 15, verse 12 says, to love one another as I have loved you. Okay, that's not a choice. That was actually a commandment that God gave us, Jesus gave us. Okay, remember to treat others, not how they treat you, especially if they're treating you bad, but treat people how you want to be treated. Amen. Remember that God is always going to hold you accountable for what you do, because you always have a choice. You don't have to act like others. You get to determine if you go to the left or if you go to the right. So regardless of how people are treating you, what they're saying, what they're doing, you are going to be held accountable for your actions, okay? So you have a choice, so make sure you're choosing correctly, amen? Happy birthday to all the Blog Talk listeners all around the world who celebrated this past week, or if you're celebrating the first couple weeks of this month. Happy birthday to my sister Carmen, who celebrated her birthday on the 8th. Reverend Joseph Stevens, amen, celebrated his birthday on the 9th. John celebrated his birthday on the 15th, and my sister, Deaconess Anita, will be closing us out with her birthday on the 31st. Amen. So happy birthday to each and every one of you. And last but not least is your devotional. I picked a short one today just because Blog Talk Radio has been the bad kid. Amen. So your devotional for today is entitled, If You're Worn Down, Show Up. Amen. And this is by Pastor Rick Warren. He's the pastor of Saddleback Church, I think, somewhere in Texas or something. Yes. So when you're stressed out, time alone with God is a great stabilizer in your life. Don't you know? Haven't you heard? The Lord is the everlasting God. He created all the world. He never grows tired or weary. That's Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28. The bigger the changes that happen in your life, the more time you need to spend with God. That time with God is called a quiet time. You read the Bible, talk to God in prayer, and are quiet so you can listen to what God wants to say to you. When you're stressed out, time alone with God, again, is the great stabilizer in your life. It's also the greatest re-energizer when you're worn out. We've all gone through a lot of stress the last few years, and some of us don't have as much energy as we used to. Chronic stress has drained us as so much in our lives has changed. Are you feeling fatigued? That's natural. It's what chronic stress does to our bodies. No matter how much sleep we get at night, we wake up tired or start to drag a few hours into the day. If you feel like you're just trying to get by, you're not alone. If you're feeling overwhelmed, exhausted, stressed out, and like you're barely hanging on, then you need to remember Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28, which again reads, "Don't you know? Haven't you heard? The Lord is the everlasting God. He created all the world. He never grows tired or weary." And just as a sidebar, it's that time of year where people are running themselves straight raggedy, buying a bunch of gifts that they can't afford for a bunch of people and family members that either they don't like or they don't like them. Okay, so tradition is running wild right now, and people are doing the absolute most. So when you talk about being stressed, 100%. God created the entire universe in 6 days, and he only rested on the seventh day to model a Sabbath for us. He never gets tired. He is never overwhelmed or worn out. He never gets stressed. He can handle anything, including all the things that you can't. So if you spend more time with God, who never grows tired or weary, then you're going to have more energy. Spending time with God is not a burden or a drudgery